Welcome to the Inner Momentum Podcast, where we discuss spirituality and ways to develop yourself as an individual through various teachings and ideologies. Hello, everyone. This is the Inner Momentum Podcast, and I'd like to introduce you to Dr. Christopher Panza, who is a professor of philosophy and a director of Asian studies here at Drew University, and he is a co-author of Ethics for Dummies and Existentialism for Dummies. He received his PhD in philosophy at the University of Connecticut in 2002, then came to Drew University, where he's been faculty member since 2002 and a professor since 2015. Now, today's discussion will be about Wu Wei, which is the practice of non-doing, effortless action, or as Encyclopedia Britannica defines it, the practice of taking no action that is not in accord with the natural course of the universe. We will also dive into how we can incorporate Wu Wei in our everyday lives and in today's time especially. I believe that this topic matters because in today's time and with everything going on right now especially, talking about letting go, non-action, or effortless action as Wu Wei suggests can be confusing at first glance, right? But however, through further examination, we can see the value it holds and that it's far from a mere phrase that sounds good, quote unquote. So now I'd like to have Dr. Panza present us with like basic definition, origins, and all that type of stuff. So Dr. Panza, what's your basic definition? Define Wu Wei, and then also you could kind of give your interpretation of it in your own words.
Yeah, sure. Well, first, thanks for having me, Randall. It's fun to do this with you. Yeah,
of course.
So Wu Wei is I think you quoted the Britannica?
Yeah, Encyclopedia Britannica.
Yeah, I didn't love that definition, but that's
okay. Yeah, it's all right. Yeah, yeah.
So basically, I mean, Wu Wei is a central concept in Taoism, right, which is an ancient Chinese philosophy and religion. And the rough translation of it, and this is kind of what Britannica was kind of getting at, is non-action. But it doesn't literally mean like inaction. It actually just means acting in harmony or flow with life, right? Without forcing things. So, you know, so my way of defining it when I talk about it with people is I say Wu Wei. You know, so the Chinese concept means Wei means action. Okay. And Wu is sort of like not or nothingness or something, right? So it's like nothing action in a way. So people often translate that as no action, as if people who are Wu Wei are just kind of hanging out on the couch or something. That's not it at all, right? So Wu Wei people are very active, but the Wu that goes into their action is not that they're not doing anything, but rather that they don't have coercive intent. So let me push the definition a little bit. So it suggests that when we act, we can kind of act in a way that moves with the currents of life, rather than resisting them. And we can figure out a way to act in a way that aligns with nature instead of forcing ourselves on it, right? So that's Wu Wei. It's acting in a way that's in flow with your surroundings, as opposed to acting in a way that's kind of forcing yourself on your surroundings. So that's a basic definition.
Okay.
How's that sound?
No, it sounds good. I think that's a better definition, like you said, than Britannica for sure.
Britannica.
Yeah. Right. I feel like they kind of dumbed it. I don't know, because yours definitely sounds like something that most people can comprehend and understand. And probably...
Just think of like, you know, if somebody who like one of the ways that Wei gets interpreted in modern discussions is it's being in the zone, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So like when that too. Right. So when a person's in the zone, what makes it being in the zone as opposed to not being in the zone, right? So when you're in the zone, you're really kind of thinking through what you're doing and you're trying to make an outcome happen, you know, that sort of thing. But when you're in the zone, it's almost like you're not even like thinking about what you're doing. You're just sort of whatever it is that you're doing, whether it's sports or gardening or whatever, you're kind of just in the flow of the activity, right? And things just happen naturally. That's Wu Wei. So what the Taoists are trying to get us to do is, can we be in the zone, like in life? I mean, everybody understands being in the zone if they're playing basketball or whatever, but can you be in the zone, like in your everyday? And yes. that's a kind of cool kind of aspiration, right? Because being in the zone is a kind of cool thing to experience. So can you be that way, like just in life in general, right? That's kind of the Taoist aim.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And I was gonna say, before we get into like the topics, the key points and stuff, because we're gonna get into that. I was gonna say, do you think, from what I understand, Wu Wei isn't exclusive or isn't just like Eastern philosophy or part of Buddhist philosophy? Like it can, it's very, it has various interpretations or various what do you call it? Like, you get what I'm trying to say. Like across cultures, it's practiced, but it's probably not called Wu Wei. It's probably called
Yeah,
something else.
right. Because then, like, modern psychology calls it flow.
Okay, cool.
And right, so there's modern psychologists who actually study flow, and some of them are aware of the Taoist kind of origin of it, and they've looked at it, but some have not, right? Because it's not exclusive to the Taoist tradition. It just seems like it originated in the Taoist tradition. But you see it in some other Asian philosophies. You see it in Confucianism. You see it
Okay,
in
so it's
Buddhism to
possible.
some degree, more Confucianism, and then you see it in the West. They wouldn't call it Wu Wei, obviously, or flow, but you see it in like maybe Aristotle, maybe perhaps Stoicism, right? So it pops
Right.
up in different places because it's kind of a general concept about how can you act in a way that puts you in harmony with the world around you, right? And that's a kind of general way of talking about action that the Taoists kind of, take in one direction and they get into detail on it. But other traditions take it in other directions. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah. I just think it can be interpreted because it almost has to be interpreted in what do you call it? It almost has to have a different adaptation depending on where you are in the world, because a person that lives, as a monk is gonna interpret that as differently than a person who lives in a nine that works a 9 to 5. Because I feel like that's, people want to probably know, like, how, if I'm working a 9 to 5 or if I'm like a businessman, how can I incorporate this type of thing? Because it may seem. And that's one of the
Oh, totally.
first questions I want to ask. Like, how can a person become successful by eliminating force in their actions? Because I feel like that's a hard thing to do at first hand to think about. Like, what do you do? What do you do?
No, that's super hard to do. So, well, I mean, first, like, probably it might help first to back up a little before we get to that, because that's a hard application question. And maybe to start with, like where did it begin? Sort of like, and what was the point? Like, why were people putting the concept, right? So, I mean, think about this. I mean, I'll just stick with Asia for a second. So it kind of began with folks who were, people call them the proto-Taoists. And they're the people who came before the Taoists about, maybe 100 years before. So why were these people coming into existence? Like, what were the sorts of things that interested them? It was kind of like the proto-Taoists were kind of like, my way of thinking of them is they were like the hippies of the 1960s. So think about this for a second. So you, at the time, Confucian culture really dominates Asia, right? And Confucian culture is really, really rigid. It's really, really ritualized, right?
Yes.
It's very, very kind of like, you have to live this way. It's very conventional, right? It doesn't have a lot about personal freedom, right? And the proto-Taoists, in a way, are kind of responding to that, right? And they're like the hippies. They're like, nah, we don't want that. You know what I mean? So, right. So what they're looking for is, like, is there a way that I can live that's kind of like a natural way to live, as opposed to this highly conventional kind of path that society's telling me I have to do? And that's so
Okay.
stuffy. You know what I mean? So the proto-Taoists are like responding to this stuffiness that they see in the culture around them. Also, I mean, they're thinking of like personal freedom. Like, for the Confucians, the way that you feel good about yourself is being validated by other people. And
Okay.
that's very common in our world too, right? But
Yes.
our world is also very conventional, right? Like, so, if you want to be successful, you have to do this, you have to do this career, and you have to do it this way, you have to live your life in this way. And the proto-Taoists and then the Taoists are saying, no, we want to find like personal freedom and fulfillment internally, right? Not in
Right.
the conventional ways, right? Like doing what society tells me I have to do, you know what I mean? Or getting kind of recognition from others. I want to live in a way that doesn't need those sorts of things. So Wu Wei wound up to be a way of kind of like pushing back against that convention that they see in society. So when you think of like today's world, I mean, no matter who you are, entrepreneur, leader, whatever, the proto-Taoists would say, isn't that something that you want to inject into your life? a kind of like, on some level, a simplicity, on some level, a feeling of flow with the world around you, a way to like reach fulfillment that doesn't require that people around you are constantly validating what you're doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what the proto-Taoists and the Taoists were pushing back against the Confucians for. But I think in our world, has a lot of connection to that. So in our world, you know, I talk to students all the time. Students are under a tremendous amount of pressure, right? To perform in certain ways, right? To get certain sorts of jobs, to live certain sorts of lives, to, you know, to be certain sorts of community members, right? And they kind of get boxed in and hemmed in that they have to live in a very particular way. And this is exactly what the proto-Taoists and the Taoists were pushing back against. And they were like, look, there's got to be a space for like for well-being and freedom that's outside of that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And that's kind of what they were pushing. So I mean, that's just one, just to kind of set the stage a little bit. Does that make sense?
No, it does. Yeah, I'm just taking notes on it. Just because we go back to it. But that makes a lot of sense, because I often feel that way sometimes. Like I have to, you know, you have to perform or maybe.
Right.
You feel uncomfortable kind of being yourself, and I feel like Wu Wei helps people be themselves. I think that's all. Right. Would you say that? Like Wu Wei is part of being yourself.
I think that's exactly it. So the Taoists are saying, Wu Wei. So you know, we get to another level of detail. Wu Wei is the connection between what you are. You know, so Randall has a kind of like a nature, right? That's individual to you, right? And the Taoist is saying, can you rediscover that nature, whatever it is that makes Randall Randall, right? And kind of like listen to the intuitive voice of that nature and allow that intuitive voice to kind of guide the way that you push through or flow through your surroundings, right? That's Wu Wei. It's when you allow your inner voice to kind of intuitively direct you in a non-coercive way through your environment. But listen to the normal way that we do that. We don't do that. We don't listen to our internal voice. We listen to the other voice that society has put in our heads. Right? So society has put a bunch of stuff in our heads and said, Randall, you have to do this, and you must do this, and you must do it this way, and you must do it that way, right? So there's all these like really, really conventional sort of like, almost like prisons that you get put into. And you're taught not to listen to your conventional voice. And the Taoists are saying, we got to get back to that listening to the individual kind of intuition, right? And so, imagine living a life where you gave that inner voice more expressive capacity. You would feel more fulfilled, right? You would feel more free. You would feel more happy. You would feel more in harmony with your life and your world. That's exactly what the Taoists are trying to get to. And they think Wu Wei is when you succeed at doing that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty cool.
Thing. I'm starting to see it, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I guess when you succeed at doing that, I guess that's the first step. Then the so-called effortless action takes place now.
Because
you've given like space to let things flow now.
Because you're not trying to force things.
Exactly. So,
one way to think about it is we're taught in our society that there's always an ideal outcome of the things that we're trying to do, right? So we always have a really, really fixed conception of our heads about how our plans are supposed to turn out if they're successful, right?
Yes.
The Taoist is saying, if that's the way you approach the world, that there's a very, very determined way in which everything has to work out, well, then you're naturally going to generate a whole lot of anxiety, right?
Of course.
Because stuff is going to keep flying at you that doesn't necessarily work in accord with that outcome, right? So you're going to feel tremendous anxiety. You're going to feel pressure. You're not going to feel free or in sync, right? You're going to feel very constrained. You know what I mean? So what the Taoists say is, how about you give up on that really, really determined picture of how things are supposed to turn out? How about if you open yourself up to the possibility of adaptation, right? And that's listening to your surroundings and flowing, right? So let's say that you want to do something with your life, or whatever it is, right? So you've got a general plan about how you want your life to go, but you listen to your inner voice, and then you wind up in new situations, but you allow those new situations and your inner voice to kind of have a conversation in a way. And those new situations might actually lead you to adjust your path a little bit if you're open to them, right? So if you're open to them, you're going to wind up in a place later on that you couldn't have predicted. You see what I'm saying? So key to Wu Wei for the Taoist is the ability to have an open-ended kind of understanding of where things might go. And the more open-ended your conception of where things are going to go, the more you're going to listen to and be open to all of the different things that you're experiencing, and you're going to allow them to kind of, you know, affect what you do, right? Whereas if you have a really, really, really rigid conception of where you should go, you're not going to be listening to the things around you, because you're just going to go, is this stuff helping me get to where I need to go or not? You know, and that's what the Taoist is trying to get us away from. That's not Wu Wei. That's what they would call Yo Wei, which is acting in a way that is coercive.
Right.
It's a very aggressive way to live, right?
Yeah, because I was going to say, sometimes, I don't know if I missed, you may have the answer to this to this point, but like sometimes when I do think of my own intuition, because I tend to have a lot of anxiety. And sometimes I question like if my intuition is even the right thing to do. The only way you can answer that is just based off of like if it's going to harm or hurt you, or if it's going to cause something in discord to happen in your life. Because sometimes I'm like, is this right? Like, I feel like I have to ask somebody sometimes.
Right.
Would you agree though? Because you have to kind of start somewhere before you can.
You do. And I think the Taoist thinks that like right now, should I trust my intuition? I don't know what my intuitive voice is saying because it's so mixed up with my societal voice. I'm not exactly sure which voice in my head is my intuitive voice. So in Taoism, you know, part of the job, and this takes a lot of practice and a lot of skill, is you have to learn to kind of separate those two voices so that you can clearly identify your actual intuitive voice. The Taoists think that your intuitive voice is always kind of on the right track. So you have to learn to trust that voice and not second guess it. But you have to get to the point where you know that that's your intuitive voice and not your societal voice. And that's a difficult journey to take. And that takes a while to get to it, they think.
That sounds like the only way I feel like somebody can develop that is through various methods of some type of meditation and silence.
You've got to dedicate yourself to some meditative practices, but you also need to dedicate yourself, Taoists would say, to the practice of thinking about the concepts that your society has kind of built into your head through enculturation, and think of all of those concepts and try to kind of see them in a way that, well, I'm trying to think of how to put this, to disrupt them a little bit so that you don't see those concepts as showing you how reality really is. So you want to see those concepts as, yeah, I'm looking at things this way because my society suggests that I should, but you have to be able to disrupt them so that you can see the possibilities that aren't dictated by your societal. Because that's how you start to hear your own voice, right? But if you only see things the way that you were brought up to see them through societal concepts, then you'll only hear the voice that was dictated by the societal framework. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does make sense. It makes sense. I mean, that's the only other, yeah.
Right, that's right. So you have to learn to kind of weaken the hold that societal framework has over your mind, and then you'll start to hear your own voice, right? So this is all done through meditation for the most part, right? And this takes a long time. Zen Buddhists talk about this a lot. Zen Buddhists are very heavily influenced by Taoist philosophy. But Zen Buddhists talk about the need to engage in a lot of meditation and to try to pull yourself into the present and to sort of see the world outside of societal frameworks in the moment, right? Like you look around and you just see the beauty of things apart from the way society has taught you to view those things. And the Zen Buddhist thinks if you can do this enough, you start to see the world in a different way. Does that make sense?
No, for sure. No, I'm following you.
Yeah. So the Taoist is saying that's what you need to learn to do. So it's a pretty complicated process. But what they want to do is get you to the point by the end that you can see the world in other ways which allows for a possibility of creativity on your part, right? I mean, imagine one way I joke when I teach Taoism is I say, Taoists think that when you're raised in society, we're all a bunch of NPCs. That's what they say, right? So they're basically like, look, just like if you're playing Grand Theft Auto, there's that guy he's an NPC. There's just some character walking on the side of the road, right? And you're like, well, why is that character walking on the side of the road? Well, because the game has programmed that character to be the person that walks on the side of the road, right? So, you know, it's just a computer character. So how are we NPCs? Well, because we've all been raised to do very particular tasks. You see what I mean? It's like, so I go to college and, you know, I must be Major X, you know what I mean? And when I graduate, I must get job Y, and then I must get married, and I must have a house that looks like Z. You know what I mean? Yes. So you're basically like the guy walking on the side of the road in Grand Theft Auto. It's just like,
yeah.
It's just like, why are all these people like living the lives that they're living? Well, because the program called society has inculcated into them the algorithm and told them that that's what they're supposed to do. So what the Taoist is saying is you got to free yourself from being an NPC, right? So, and you've got to learn to listen to your individual intuition and flow with life in a natural way, right?
Yeah.
That there's great freedom in that, they think.
Yeah, no, I believe there is. It's definitely a hard place to get. And I was going to say, yeah, like for the audience too, like how have you ever experienced Wu Wei, like one example?
I have, but it's hard. So
yeah,
I have lots of Wu Wei experiences that are not about living life, but about doing specific things, right? You know, so I run a lot. I'm a marathon runner. So, you know, sometimes when I'm running, I very clearly enter like Wu Wei. I'm not thinking anymore. I'm not aware of myself as a particular self. I lose track of time. These are characteristics of being in the zone, right, or being in flow. And then there's this like feeling of meaningfulness about what you're doing, even though you're not really thinking or aware. Like I said, time seems to kind of like drift away, right? And I've definitely had those experiences, and they're incredibly invigorating and really, really meaningful. So I've had those experiences running. I've had those experiencing like doing tasks. But with respect to like living my life, I've had flashes of it, but it's hard. It's really hard to do, right? So like one thing I've tried to work on, I've tried it, but I failed a lot of times.
Okay,
not the fault of Taoists, my fault. Yeah. but one of the things that Taoists think that if you live in Wu Wei is that they think people who live in accord with Wu Wei wind up living lives that are obscure. And what they mean by that is like, they don't live lives where they're looking to be known to others. People who live in Wu Wei are just kind of like, they're flowing with their surroundings. So they don't stick out. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, they're not trying to stick out and be like the main character. You know, so not the NPC, but the main character, right? Yes. They're just trying to flow with their surroundings. So when you're trying to live in accord with Wu Wei, you're not trying to make a name for yourself. Like you literally would say to yourself, look, if I die and nobody like remembers me, then probably I lived Wu Wei. Because I wasn't trying to stick out, right?
Yeah, so you're just being yourself.
You're just being myself, right? I'm not trying to stick out to other people, right? As a matter of fact, I would see that as not Wu Wei, right? So I would pull back from that stuff. So I've tried to live that way, but you know, ego is a hard thing to break, right? So you know, your ego tells you what you want to stick out. You want people to look at you, right? You want people to acknowledge you. You want the world to remember you. You want to be a great person. You want to say great things. You want to do great deeds. You know what I mean? And for the Taoists, they're like, that's how the Confucian lives. Remember? That's what society tells you. It's you got to be the go-getter. You got to stick out. You got to be the man. You know, that kind of stuff. And that's the societal voice. And the Taoist is like, that's not the path to harmony, right? So, but ego is a hard thing to swallow, right? So I've had a hard time with that one.
I think it's definitely something. I was trying to think of when I think, because I'm trying to like best relate it to like
right.
how people can relate, like, because, like, I feel like most people that may listen to this are like, they even like in your job of like, being a teacher, like for me, like, especially I feel like Wu Wei is definitely important and happens a lot in my field, like of art, like drawing or like doing any type of animation stuff, because
Oh,
I
sure.
don't know, I'm sure I think like either when you get in what's called a flow in art, it's called flow state, and it's like when you're making something and you end up just staying up for hours, but you're so invested in what you're creating.
And you
But
lose
like,
track of time, right?
yeah, you lose track of time, but then I think about things that I don't like doing, which is like working at, say, CVS, where I work at sometimes for 9 to 5, and it's like, how do I incorporate Wu Wei? Yeah, how do I incorporate Wu Wei and that, so I'm not losing my mind. And the only thing I can think of really is to just, one of the things I read on one article was just it just kind of just talks about just kind of doing.
Yes.
Like Charles Bukowski, I saw this quote. It says, Charles Bukowski said, somebody asked me, what do? How do you write or create? And he said, you don't try. And
You just do.
that's, yeah, you just do. And that's, and it's, and it'll be hard, but I think that's just an individual, that's just the I guess the challenge of the individual. It's like, you gotta do it yourself, because we're all different. So one person may be okay and can do a 9 to 5, and not every, we're all human. It's gonna be probably hard every other day, but it's like, you gotta try to do what you can, like we just discussed, like meditate or do something to let you get through the day where these things don't hurt and bother you. You know what I mean? So that's what I wanted to get on.
So the so two things. One is you mentioned a phrase that that people who write about Taoists talk about a lot. They'll say the key to becoming Wu Wei is to try not to try. So it's like, well, wait a minute, how do I do it if I'm trying not to try? Well, then how do I try, right? But this is like, you know, the paradox of Wu Wei, right? Is you're not trying to force anything. So like one, like here's one quick way of thinking about it's not the CVS thing. I want to come back to that in a second. But when you have a friendship, right? How do you, like, I remember once somebody said to me they were upset that they didn't have enough friends, right? So I said, well, you know, what are you doing, right? And they said, well, I'm trying really hard to be friends with these people, right? And I said, well, that's not how it works. It's like, you can't like make friendship a project or something, right? You're like, that person over there is going to be my friend, and I'm going to try really hard to make that person my friend. I was like, that's not how friendships develop, right? I was like, friendships develop in a kind of Wu Wei manner, right? Where you're not intentionally trying to do anything. If that person over there is somebody who you're meant to be a friend with, when you interact with each other, you'll simply sync with one another and you'll be in harmony and you'll become friends and it will feel very natural. You know what I mean? It's kind of like if you meet somebody, if you fall in love, it's like, well, I'm trying to find somebody to marry. Who can I force love on? It's like, it doesn't work that way, right? It doesn't work that way. So I can't like find the person to marry and then like force myself to love them or force them to love me or try really hard to make them love me. It doesn't work that way. It either happens naturally because there's a harmony, or it doesn't work, right? So that's one way to think about Wu Wei. It's like, oh, how do I get into the state? Well, it's not something that you force yourself into. You simply have to allow yourself kind of like flow into it. So now go back to CVS. Why is CVS so maddening? Well, because you're thinking about your experience through a societal set of categories. Like you're thinking, this is boring, or I'm not accomplishing anything, or I have no one to talk to, or you know what I mean? I'm just putting things up on the shelf. This seems unproductive or whatever. So what are you doing? You're taking your current experience and you're pushing it through a social filter, right? And your social filter tells you this is a waste of my time. So you go crazy. You see what I mean? So what would a Taoist say? You've got to get rid of that social filter. So can you be, when you're in CVS, like let's say you're in the aisle, right? And you're like, I used to work in a supermarket. So when you're stacking the aisles, right? Can you stack the aisles in a way that stacks the aisles without using a social filter? Can you just be in the moment and kind of appreciate your surroundings and appreciate what you're doing and appreciate the task? The way your body moves, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know, I get what you're saying. Yeah, just be in the present moment, like be
For being
thankful
in the
that you,
present
yeah.
moment, right? And if you can do that, what the Taoist is saying is, you could even experience flow in CVS. But that takes a whole lot of deconstruction. You're going to have to work on a whole lot of social concepts, because those social concepts are in your way when you're in CVS, and that's why it's driving you crazy, right?
Right. So, yeah, no, I get exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, there's a Zen Buddhist who talks about washing dishes, and he says that most people hate washing dishes, right?
I remember this in class. Yes,
yeah, you remember. Yeah, right. Yeah. So why do people hate dishes? Because they feel like it's getting in the way of something they really want to do, right? So that's social concepts telling you washing dishes is a waste of time. You really need to be working on this project or playing a video game or whatever, right? And the Zen Buddhist says you have to dump that filter and re-experience what you're doing. Feel the water on your hands. Feel the ceramics of the dish. You know what I mean? Feel the contours of the pottery, right? He's like, and you can suddenly find yourself, if you get really good at this, having a really, really meaningful experience washing the dishes, right? And what he's trying to get you to see is flow is possible washing dishes. And then it becomes like a quasi-spiritual experience, right? But he's saying, but you're going to have to do a whole lot of work, kind of like doing an exorcism in a way of all the social concepts that tell you that yes. What you're doing right now is stupid. You see what I mean?
For sure. No, I understand exactly what you're talking about. I just thought that was a very important topic to talk about before we end.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
I was going to say, to wrap it up though, I guess, like you said, I mean, we kind of summarized what where it comes from, what it is, its origins, what it's about, how we can use it, what you've done, what I've done, and how maybe somebody that's maybe over here that doesn't have, like, you know, that has right. just a regular life can probably use it. So I hope that the viewers can definitely take some things away. And I think they can. And I guess as far as main takeaways and final thoughts, I mean, for me, I would say I would say definitely, I think one of the main things is kind of like you said, when you're trying to be, I think this way for a lot of people, including me, a lot of people, I think it's talking about becoming a better version of yourself, or a new kind of opening up. And in order to create something new, usually that implies some type of destruction. And just like you said, you're going to have to deconstruct things. So I think that's one of the, if anything, if somebody takes from out of this, is that to you're going to have to sacrifice things and for the better, you know, for the betterment of yourself. So
think of it as kind of like society has put you in a box, right? And that box has a very, very definitive shape, right? And within that box is only certain things you're allowed to do, right? So if you want to live a creative, free life, you're going to have to learn to sacrifice the box, right? The box does come with some comforts though, right? And the Taoist is saying you're going to have to give those comforts up and live an actual life of authenticity and freedom and lack of anxiety, frankly, right? And openness, especially, I mean, for an art person, this is huge, right?
Yes, so of course.
You don't want to just live inside the kind of confines of a structure that you've been taught, right? Then you'll never be an artist. You'll just be kind of like a factory worker artist or something. You know, it's like, you know, painting what you've been told to paint in the way that you've been told to paint it. You know what I mean? I mean, there's clearly a place to do that and you can make some money. But if you want to be an artist, you have to be able to like leave that box, right? And the Taoist is saying you're going to have to deconstruct the box that you were put in, right?
Yeah. It sounds very simple, but it's not something easy to do.
No, it's not. And they don't think it's easy to do, but it's
good.
But it's well worth it when you get to the other side.
Yes. A lot of patience.
But
I mean, what do you think? I mean, I think that I think that's it, really. I mean, I think we've explained enough. We've talked enough about it, really. So
yeah, I'd say. I mean, I just end, Randall, would just for the listener, and just say, look, the Taoist would recommend that one, like in your everyday life, challenge some definitions. Challenge the way that you've been taught things have to be, right?
Right. Think outside. I like this, yes.
Right. That's one. Two, find some task to flow in. It doesn't have to be life, because that's hard, right? But something easy, like a sports event, or like you're creating an animation or something, whatever, a task, right? And experience what flow is and the beauty and the meaningfulness of flow, right? And how passionate you get when you're in the midst of flow. And then the third is, every once in a while, meditate on the beauty of the moment outside of the filter, right? If you can do all three, those are the practices that you have to get good at. And the better you get at it, the more flow will start happening in places where you don't expect it. So it won't just be when you're playing.
I like that a lot, yeah.
You see what I mean? So yes. I think if you can do those three things over and over, all of a sudden you'll start noticing, wow, I was just experiencing, you know, Wu Wei in places that, you know, are not task oriented. I was just walking through CBS or something, you know, experiencing Wu Wei, and that was really cool. Or I was talking to a friend of mine and I was experiencing Wu Wei in the conversation. That's pretty amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
That wraps up today's episode on Inner Momentum. This will be posted on our website, innermomentum.org, where you can connect and comment on what you thought about this episode, your personal experiences, and most importantly, what you want the next episode's topic to be about. I'd like to also thank the audience for tuning in and listening. And a big thanks for Dr. Panza for joining us on today's episode and providing us with his wisdom on something that we can all benefit from. I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in to today's episode on the Inner Momentum Podcast. For more information on upcoming episodes, be sure to check out our website linked down below. Until next time, keep building your momentum.